All right, so we are back at Build 2012 in beautiful, rainy Redmond. We have a very special guest, Kevin Gallo, who is the Director of Program Management for the Windows Phone Developer Platform. Congratulations, by the way, on the release of the SDK today.
Thank you.
And the development of a really excellent product and operating system, which we're going to get into, the whole Windows Phone spectrum. So what we're doing here today on Channel 9 Live is we're going to get questions from a real virtual audience.
Awesome.
And so, without further ado, actually, I'd like Kevin to spend just a little bit of time. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
So in my role, what I end up doing is helping to develop and come up with what APIs do we want on the platform. So one of the reasons I say I talk to lots of developers is we need to understand, you know, what's blocking developers, where we think that they're moving to, you know, innovate. So we actually go and we spec the actual APIs and what developers need, figure out the programming model, the application model that are used by developers.
Awesome. So we're going to jump right into some questions. This is from Raghavendra. Forgive me if I mess up your name. Is there a capability to take a screenshot of the phone screen in WP8? Android and iPhone have that feature. So some people like to take screenshots of the phone screen.
Yeah, actually, if you saw on my keynote, that actual screenshot literally is a screenshot of my phone. I think it's power button and start. I can't remember the exact keystroke it is.
Yeah.
But yes, we built that in this time in Windows Phone 8. Everybody wants it. It's there, built into the phone. It goes right into a special folder that's part of your pictures, and you can see it right there.
Excellent. So folks out there, if you have any technical questions, they don't get more technical than Kevin. So ask whatever you want around Windows Phone 8 development. I'm sure you've already downloaded the SDK. You might have some questions, reading documentation. Take advantage of this opportunity to talk to Kevin, who leads that whole effort. So Kevin, right off the bat, on behalf of C++ developers everywhere, thank you in Windows Phone 8 for allowing us to develop C++ components and to be able to use DirectX directly in the language that we love and know how to use. Thank you for doing that. Could you spend just a couple seconds on how does it work exactly? Now, I can build a C++ component that the XAML and C# stuff up here in the UI can call into and take advantage of, right?
Well, there's two ways.
Okay.
So we support two app models. One is a pure native app model. So if you're going to move over an application or build something that's completely native and has no managed code in it, and you really don't need our UI toolkit. A lot of games have their own customized built-in UI toolkits. Then you can build that completely in native using DirectX really as your foundational UI component, and that'll be completely native. It's all C++ code.
Great.
If you also want to have like XAML as your front end, or if you want to integrate in a web control or use some other feature that are exposed through managed code, we allow a hybrid model where the core app model is managed, and then to call native code, you you build a Windows runtime component, as I showed on stage, and then that seamlessly calls from C# and it's done.
Excellent.
So basically the model there is you wrap it as a Windows, Windows runtime component, and then you call that code from C++.
Awesome. Now, one question I'll ask you is, like, what is the connection between moving to a shared core and allowing native on the platform? Is there a relationship?
The fundamental reason we did those together was a little bit around the security model, right? The original OS, we called Windows CE, really any native code could crash the operating system. To be very honest, we could not guarantee that you couldn't reboot the phone.
Okay.
And that security model was really hard.
Understood.
Using the Windows core, we do not have that problem. We have a concept we call chambers, which puts a security model around it. So no matter what the C++ code is, it can't break that security model and hurt the phone.
Excellent.
So the two of those link together because we could have maybe done the work in CE to secure it all, but there's so many more benefits coming into using the Windows kernel that we really link those two together to get the dual advantage.
Absolutely. Great. So Thomas has a question. I would like to know, how are the SD cards handled on the phone side? Not exactly sure what that means, but can you...
So not all phones will come with SD slots. It's an option.
Okay.
And the ones that do, you push it in and you'll look at extra storage. We do not use that as primary storage, so we do not store apps and other content on there. In essence, it's like putting a CD-ROM in or something like that where it's a dual storage and you can get information and store information or a thumb drive into a PC. So you stick the SD card in there and then you can actually save information to it or read information off of it.
Excellent. Rich asks, what's the easiest way to support Windows Phone 7 and Windows Phone 8 with the same app.
So the way we would do that is if you move to the Windows Phone 8 app model, so your app is marked as a Windows Phone 8 app, then it can only run on a Windows Phone 8 device. But if you actually mark it as a Windows Phone 7 or Windows Phone 7 or 7.5 app, it'll run, and then you can dynamically take advantage of some of the API capabilities. So you would end up using Reflection in Managed Code to find the API. So you use Reflection, you call the API, and you want to be able to handle if it's not there. So you're dynamically detecting whether the function is available or not, finding out the version.
Okay. So just real quickly on that, the Windows Phone 8 also supports no JIT at launch time for the Windows Phone apps, right? Windows Phone 8, is that something that we announced?
So in June we announced, being the very technically accurate, okay, we can JIT.
Okay.
Because if you actually look at Reflection, those things, they conceptually JIT.
Sure, of course.
Right? But JIT takes time and takes more memory.
Yes.
So what we end up doing is we will compile, the technology called NGen in some cases on Windows before, but we will compile that code to binary code in the cloud and then only send binaries down so that startup is instantaneous. It's really much, much faster because we don't have to spend the time JITting it. And so, the idea being it's not that we can't JIT because obviously the code exists to do some of these other functions.
Sure.
But we do all the compilation in the cloud. You do nothing as a developer. You submit your app. It just gets compiled. Actually, what we end up doing is if you're a 7.5 app, then we have both a non-JITted version for all 7.5, a non-compiled version for all 7.5 devices and a compiled one for all 8.0. So all future versions are compiled.
So your app, without making any changes, if it's Windows 7.5 today, will come down on a Windows 8 device and be linked, essentially, during install time.
All those that do a bind, we call it.
Nice.
And the answer, we went through our entire catalog exists and compiled them all.
Beautiful.
Over the last few weeks or whatever it was.
Excellent, man. So that's great news. And we're going to dig in deeply to that on Channel 9, by the way. We have an interview with a couple of the developers behind that.
Cool.
We kind of get nasty into the assembly level stuff. It's beautiful. MDIL is very interesting. Let's go back to questions. We got a question from Amar. What is the effort required to port a Windows 8 store app to Windows Phone 8, C# XAML?
It really depends on the app and how well you've done model view separation. It's very hard to say how hard is it because it depends on the application itself. If you've done a very good model view separation and your code is separate from your UI layer, then I think it'll be fairly straightforward, depending on the actual raw functionality. If you start using lots of, support of things that exist on Windows Phone, then that code may not port over as well. And versus Windows 8. So it really depends on how much platform code. We have this core. If you stay in that core, then the code will work identically. The more you use specialized features, the more work it will be to actually look at how you want that feature to work on the different platforms.
Interesting. Yeah, that's sort of been a theme today. There have been a lot of questions about porting from Windows Phone 8 to Windows 8. Obviously, they're very different form factors, so there's things that you're just going to have to redo. It's certainly in the UI layer, right?
Yeah, our control set's different, optimized for each form factor. And they're somewhat dissimilar.
Sure.
Button's a button. But as you get into some of the more advanced, iconic controls, those actually are a little bit specialized.
Cool. So Chris asks, can background apps get resource more often than every 30 minutes, like 7.x would give you? So if so, how often? So how often can on 8 can these guys access resources?
I don't know the exact timing of all of the background processing.
Okay.
In some cases, we've tried to reduce the amount of time. We'll give you less CPU, but more often.
Okay.
So one of the things people have asked for is, hey, I don't need more CPU time.
Yeah.
I just need it more often. And so what we were doing is we're doing some of them that are event-driven and some of them that we give you actually the same amount of CPU time that you got on 7.5. We just give it to you more often. Mm. A little bit less CPU, but more often.
Okay. A little bit less CPU, but more often. Love it. That's good for battery.
Yes.
So let's see here. Let's look at a question from Jerry. What obfuscation tools are available to help me protect my Windows 8 managed application? So that actually brings up an interesting point. If you're doing the binding at runtime, there is no IL. Or do you bring, because you bring down MDIL, right?
Yes.
Which has some IL in it.
Well,
but can you do the whole?
We actually encrypt it all now.
Okay.
Everything is encrypted across the channel.
Okay.
It's only decrypted within the secure chambers.
Okay.
So you can't steal the apps and you can't get the apps. So even now it is binary code.
Sure.
So it is harder to go do it. But we actually encrypt it, which adds even another layer beyond that.
Okay.
So the encryption is on there.
Excellent. So that's sort of your answer, Jerry. You don't necessarily need them. I mean, nothing is 100% free. I mean, code is code, binary or not. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people are able to figure it out, but it's not like the IL days, which was really easy to figure out.
Yeah, IL's pretty easy.
Rock and roll. We already asked a question from Rich. So everybody keep asking questions out there. These are really good. We got Kevin Gallo here, who basically runs the Windows Phone Development Platform Group. So now's the time to ask questions. You can do it right on Channel 9. Go underneath the player. You don't even have to log in. You don't have to do Twitter. Purely anonymous. Give yourself a funny name. Rock and roll. So let's talk a little bit about this shared core, this new OS. Tell me about it. I mean, it's the NT kernel minus probably some things that are unnecessary.
We ended up spending, we work very closely with the Windows team, and we've refactored the core so that there's a shared part, mainly around leveraging drivers, the file system, security model. We have our media and networking stacks, as well as audio. I think I'm getting everybody. We also share our browser, you know. And so we share a lot of that basic infrastructure that, I mean, the two benefits is, one, it ends up that we now build on the same core for developers. To be honest, the equal benefit is the drivers are actually binary identical between us and Windows.
Great.
And therefore, if you're an OEM and you're building hardware, you only have to build it once.
Beautiful. Beautiful. All right, back to the questions from the most important people. This is from Tu Ibrick. I mean, that's an interesting name, my friend. Do we have a way to get access to contact lists through the SDK APIs?
There is, I'm trying to remember the exact, I can't remember the exact functionality that's available there.
Sure.
There is some limited access. You can actually, I don't remember the exact APIs.
And of course the user would have to give you permission, right?
Yeah, there's a permission level. I don't want to get it
Fair
wrong.
Fair enough. Don't worry about it, man.
Specific details on that API.
Sure, no worries. So this is from Chris Pauly. Did the Windows Phone 8 SDK add an ability to debug the live tile update process? And giving some context, the 7.5 live tile would seem to stop updating, indicating that an error happened or something, but I had no visibility into the errors happening. So that's really what he's asking. I want to debug into a live tile. Maybe for some reason an exception was caught, no longer updating. I don't know the...
I don't think that has changed.
Okay.
I think if you ran into an issue there, maybe it's fixed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that specific issue. I don't know if it was a bug or a lacking of a feature. I don't know.
Okay. I mean, that is interesting. If an exception happens in a live tile, what happens?
I mean, when you say in a live tile, what you do is you give information to update it. It's kind of a push model.
Got it.
And so it's not like live tiles call your code from the shell. And now if you call that code, something happens as a crash.
Sure.
So we don't ever call client code to do that, not from the shell process.
Understood.
And so I don't, like, I'd have to see the scenario here, but
I
don't
think it was a slight bug.
Change. It could have easily been a bug.
Okay.
And maybe that bug was fixed. You'll have to just try it out when you get the SDK.
Excellent. Now, yesterday at the Windows Phone 8 announcement, you guys had done demos of some new features.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of some of these killer new features like that we could talk about briefly? Like,
so you mean for developers or you mean for end users?
End users
for
and
end
then
users,
developers too, yeah.
Most of them are for end users. I talked about two specifically today that I like, which are Kids Corner, which is a feature that allows you to create kind of like a a separate start screen, and then it creates isolation. Kids can only run those apps. They can't get to your mail. They can't get to your text messaging or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a safe place for them to do what you want them to do, but it's kind of their own. They can customize it. We also have this concept called Rooms, which allows you, clearly, you know, for my family, allows my wife and I to share a calendar, have a family calendar. I use it for different groups that I manage. I have some, you know, kids that are in different sports, and so we're thinking about trying to use that to keep everybody in contact.
Great.
So it's not like it's on Facebook with everybody, but it's, hey, this small group of people, you know, small might be 20, but it's not a 100, 200, whatever thousands you get. And it's just for that purpose, and it's a nice shared calendar. So those are two things that are really, I think, exciting from an end user's point of view.
Excellent. Now, Owen, so it's E-O-I-N, pronounced Owen. I have an existing MVC web app on Azure. Will I get much reuse from my model, controller, and entity framework data service code if I want to create a Windows 8 or Phone 8 front end for my platform? So,
I mean, if you abstract it through web services appropriately and all you're doing is web services requests, then you build a front end that would call to that. This depends deeply on how you've structured your web services and your MVC. Mm. But if you do proper MVC, it's usually pretty good. I mean, you've separated your code, you know what your UI and your end user interactions versus your app logic. It's usually pretty straightforward to add a new front end on top of it.
Rock and roll. Oral asks, what exactly can we do with live lock screen? By glimpse over the Dev Center, it seems we are only able to put images. Is that correct? So basically he wants to know, what exactly can I do with the lock screen?
There's three different features I would describe. The end user can select an app that can dynamically update the wallpaper, I think, every 30 minutes. And that app can dynamically update and input anything. That's just a bitmap. There's also five notification slots in Windows Phone 7 and Windows Phone 7.5. Those were taken up by the system. Now the end user can actually go to the settings and choose which apps get to show information on the lock screen. So you can choose your Skype app, and now that will show up. You can choose any app, and it can show a numeric representation. You also can set your calendar, where usually your calendar information would go. You can have any app show its information there as well. Mm. So end user can select your app to show, say, the latest news of the day. And so that will be kind of a text representation there of the latest information, you get calendar. Any app can do that now. So there's three or four different pieces that end user can choose, different apps, display their content rather than built-in experiences.
Awesome. And that sort of goes to the whole revolved around you.
Yeah, I use this as, I call it, level of detail.
Okay. You know,
I'm a developer, and I keep thinking of level of detail from a graphics point of view. But my start screen is the fastest thing. I want to see my clock, the latest thing I have to go do, and are there anything I should be looking at next? Mm. If there's some things I want to look at next, I flip, and then I look at the start screen. That's got another level of detail where, hey, I can see more action of what I want to go choose to go do next, and then I can go launch the app, the next level of detail, and then richly find out, So I can see my calendar, then go say, hey, where's the room? So, or who else is attending that meeting? Do I care about going? Things like that, So I call it levels of detail, from the lock screen to the start screen to the app itself.
Awesome. Srinivas asks, will there be SQL CE database for Windows Phone 8? Or should they just focus on cloud storage? So in other words, what's the client storage, the database story?
We continue to support SQL CE, however, and Link to SQL. But if you're really targeting Windows and Windows Phone, and you want to port your code from iOS and Android, we think SQLite is probably the right way to go, where almost everybody is using that library. We made sure it's available for our phone. I tend to think that's the route to go.
Rock and roll.
Is that's where everybody's going. We decided, rather than having a different one and then making it harder to port your app between different platforms, use the one that everybody uses.
Totally.
And that's why invent something if something's working?
You're right. And that's an example of why it's great that you now support native code. That's a native component.
Absolutely.
Written in C.
Yeah. I'm a big C++ developer. You can try to tell from the fact
that
I mentioned
man.
It seven times, I think, in the keynote.
Nice job.
It does give you all this portability of core code.
Yes.
You don't have to write your code, but a lot of the portable code and libraries that everybody has are built in C++ over years, and it's good, solid code, and why rewrite it?
Amen. Rock and roll. All right, so Pear asks, is there any new functionality in the web browser control in Windows Phone 8 in comparison to Windows Phone 7?
Well, we fixed our touch support. That's one of the biggest issues. We wanted to make sure that if part of your app... one of the concepts I push a lot is composite apps. This idea that people don't want to build a monolithic app and then port it. They use pieces to build an application together. They might use a web control in one part, they might use XAML in another, and they might use DirectX in another. And they want to be able to mix those technologies in a way that makes sense for them and lets them reuse code. So one of the gaps I think we kind of had was our touch support really wasn't there with IE9 as much as we wanted to in Windows Phone 7.5. So with IE10, we brought in much better touch support. So that control feels much more natural, and if you develop the HTML content using touch, it'll work seamlessly inside of a touch environment. So I think that has actually taken a step forward that we've done there for a browser control and making it integrate almost as if it's just part of the experience.
Awesome. Rashid asks, looking through the Windows Phone 8 SDK, which you guys released earlier this morning, There does not appear to be a list box, only a long list selector. I guess that's the class. Is this the equivalent of the list box, or has the concept been changed?
I think it's, but in our UI, if you look at, you know, how our UI is structured, if you look at the phone, that is how most of that is done, and so that's the control we have.
Cool. So can you compare the use of XAML versus HTML5? I don't know. Is that the right question for you?
I mean, I think you want to use the right tool for the right, you know, for the right job. You know, if you have a website and you have HTML, it's, you should reuse it. Why not? If you want it to feel more like the phone and a built-in experience on the phone where it has a pivot and a panel and a lot of the controls, use XAML. It's very easy to go use that. You know, our goal is not to give you one technology and say, change all your code to go there. The goal is to give you choices based on, you know, what fits the right role. If you like writing HTML, I say write it. If you want to write in XAML, we think we have a great set of tools with Blend. We can go use it to design and get a lot of the common look of the phone. And it's fast, and it works very, very well.
Excellent. Now, Andreas H. asks, and this goes back to your user example. He says, I love the concept of the Kids Corner feature. Is this exposed in the API so I can interact it with programmatically, or is it just possible to use interactively? And then he adds context. He's thinking if it's possible to use a generic kiosk mode, whether it's kids or line business workers. So is there an API for that general experience?
I'm not sure there's any API that literally says, I'm in Kid Corner, let me do something. Mm. We do have different security restrictions when apps run in Kid Corner. So what I will say is, test your app running in Kid Corner. Because if you require that your app can launch the browser or it can launch other apps and do app-to-app communication, mm-hmm. you know, there will be restrictions. We will not. There'll be a little bit tighter sandbox. That's the whole purpose of it. Mm-hmm. And so you should test your app that you don't crash if you can't, like, you know, successfully go do some operation or you go down a slightly different code path or timing is different. So you should test your app in Kid Corner. Mm-hmm. As far as APIs and for enterprise, our enterprise really does things a bit differently, where we allow you to actually create a store, a separate concept like a store, which is for your enterprise, and download apps certified and signed by your enterprise. So it's a little bit separate than Kid Corner, and the two really interact in a very different way, where they are just apps, and just they're signed differently, and they can only be provisioned on your phone and signed by your corporation.
Great. Thanks for the question, Andreas. Mayank asks, what is the best way to make user data available on both Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8 automatically?
Basically you have SkyDrive storage, and if you use that, you can actually store the same data. And you should make sure that, you know, if you use the exact same data and you want to store, like, you know, say your game, and you want to store your save location, you know, as long as your apps are the same. So you want to make sure, sometimes you don't want them the same because you may actually have a little bit of different gameplay for a tablet versus a phone. But if you store it in the same location, SkyDrive, it'll all be stored. And you can leverage that the same way.
Sure. I mean, that's a canonical example of cloud storage.
Yep.
So keep asking questions. You have Kevin Gallo here, who is the Director of Program Management for the Windows Phone 8 platform. SDK released earlier today. You saw Kevin, of course, in the keynote you watched first thing this morning. So if you have any questions from there, you know, go ahead and ask. So Kevin, going back to this, actually no, because I'm going to ask a real person's question. I'm not actually real. So what is the difference between isolated storage? This is from Atizaz. What is the difference between isolated storage and file system? Does Windows Phone 8 allow both?
The file system is actually the way you interact with files, and it's, you know, isolated storage, the concept of having, in essence, a file store for each app, and the apps cannot see different aspects of the file system. Truly, every system has ACLs on their files, and you can't access everyone's files. On Windows, for example, if my wife and I are logged into the same machine, I actually can't see her files unless she gives me permission and goes to the file system and allows me to. We do that automatically for apps, and we actually don't let apps see other apps, so we keep that tight. The file system is really the underlying infrastructure that enables talking to files. The security level and the isolated storage is kind of a concept above that.
Cool. But an application can't, like, access the file system.
Well, yes, it can. It can access file system for only its app.
I mean, got it.
It's still accessing the file system.
Sure, isolated storage.
It can't access the whole disk, the whole storage, all the memory that is on the storage.
Sure.
It can only access a part that's allocated to it, and it can't get out of it. It can't go to the root and, you know, start enumerating, you know, content and finding out stuff from other apps.
Absolutely. Great. That's a good model. Rich asks, if I develop a WP8 version of my app, as well as having a WP7 version of it, will WP8 users see both apps in the store?
You can choose which apps show up in the store. You can actually even select it by resolution. So if you say you only support HD, you know, then you'll only show up on, you know, high resolution devices versus you know, WVGA. So there's some selection mechanism, and you can say this app only shows up on those Windows Phone 8 devices, and these only show up on the Windows Phone 7 and 7.5. So you can fully select that.
Great. Paul asks, has the map control changed in Windows Phone 8? Is it faster?
There's nothing in common anymore. The one we had in 7.5 was a control that got linked into your app. So each app has it linked in directly. The nice thing about that was it can be updated out of band of the platform. The bad part there is it can't share all of its data. For example, we now have a built-in one that actually uses Nokia Maps, and it's part of the system. So much like our browser control, it's actually, we host it and use it almost exactly internally the same. We built the same infrastructure basically for hosting the map control and the browser control. So it's just a control that works in the system. It seamlessly layers. Nice thing is there you get offline maps. So it downloads the offline maps once, and every app can use offline maps. So that's that shared data that you really couldn't do when it was linked into your app. Now we can actually, because we can share data because we know what the data is. We want that app share data because that would be kind of risky.
Understood.
But now it's built in. It's got offline map support. It's a phenomenal map control. We think we've made a huge improvement in that
excellent
area.
Excellent. So Carlos Bontempo asks, is there an API to use the user avatar like you can do in Xbox 360? You know, those funky...
Yeah, I don't have that specific. I can't get access to the avatar. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember.
No worries. No worries. It's a totally good answer. So we can find out for you, Carlos, if I think I understand what you're asking, but we'll archive all these questions.
Absolutely.
Can always get back to you.
I guess someone knows a little bit more than me on the
team. On the sort of the avatar-y stuff. Please ask questions out there in the real world, because now I'm going to ask a question. But you know what? I do that for a living. But this is a chance for the audience to really engage with you and ask deep questions about Windows Phone 8.
Absolutely.
What are some things in Windows Phone 8 where there is no backwards compatibility? Are there areas where you had to say, you know what, if you did it this way, it's really not going to work anymore? Or is everything 100% backwards compatible with Windows Phone 7.5?
I'm trying to think. Is there anything that we specifically said wouldn't work outside of a few bugs here and there that we said, I can't fix timing issues to be identical as they were?
Okay.
Right? Which, you know, clearly people think will be different there.
Sure.
There were very few. I can't think of anything off the top of my head where we said, so... If your app's app model is 7.5, there are very, very few things that I can even think of off the top of my head where we said, hey, we just won't support that. We used to support some hybrid model where people could get to some APIs that we hadn't necessarily supported. Some of the Flashlight apps were written that way. And, you know, if they use Reflection, they could get access to it when they weren't supposed to, but they made some nice Flashlight apps. Mm-hmm. And some of that, they broke.
Okay.
We fixed that security hole.
Sure.
You know, it wasn't damaging, but we fixed that issue.
Okay.
If you mark the app as an 8.0 app and we use the new app model, there are some things that do change. Mm. And so there'll be a little bit of pain when you first mark it. The good thing is while you have that pain initially going from a 7.5 to an 8 app, it actually makes it much easier to go to a Windows 8 app. And so the goal there was we had to make a choice of do we move more like 7.5, or do we make, when you move to 8, more like Windows 8? We said, no, when you upgrade and you really say, I'm just going to embrace the Windows Phone 8 and only work on Windows Phone 8 devices, now it's much easier to share the code and have the same app model as Windows 8.
Awesome. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
Kind
of, you know,
got
to move forward, man.
Yep.
So Darren asks, now that some phones have multi-core, and of course the WP8 phones do, is there anything you've noticed during regression testing that devs should watch out for? Race conditions? So, I mean, you have multiple cores, and if I'm going to build a C++ component, can I have my own threading library? Or do you provide it like Windows 8, where I have to use the built-in one?
We have a threading library that's, you know, Windows Runtime Threads.
Okay.
That runs the same exact way as Windows.
Okay.
The goal there was, you know, sure, we could invent something different, but there really is no reason to.
Sure.
We felt very good with that library, and we now support the same thing. It makes code very easy to port between the two. You know, have I noticed anything that's different? Yeah, we did. When we did all of our regression passes, I mean, we found some apps where the timing just changed because things happened slightly in parallel. In most cases, it was nothing major with the app, but there was some glitches here and there. You say, hey, you know what? That, you know, it did cause some timing effects.
Okay.
There's no way of not affecting timing effects when you go to multi-core.
Absolutely.
And so, but most of them are pretty minor. I don't think we saw anything that was, major.
Great. And so can I, when I know that I'm running on a WP8 device as a developer, I can write with parallelism in mind, right? I can use PPL.h. I can take advantage of the machine. Because I'm writing in a language.
Yes, and we use multiple cores. Actually, even 7.5 apps will run on multi-core as well.
Cool.
So we do allow them to take advantage of that, too, to make the apps faster.
Beautiful. Good. And do a lot of stuff asynchronously, like in Windows 8. Ken asks, how many apps are there in total within the marketplace?
I think we published some number. I don't know what the number is we published.
There's a number. You can see it in yesterday's keynote.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you know.
This is a technical guy, man.
You know, I can't remember the exact number. I should probably be prepped with the, I think, is it 120 or something like that?
I don't know. It's a lot.
120,000.
Yeah, 120,000, something like that.
I think something like that. I mean, now it's maybe it's more or less. It changes day to day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's going up.
Totally. Start writing apps for Windows Phone 8, Ken. That's rock and roll. That's going to be, I mean, those devices are beautiful, man. And I can't wait to get my hands on one. How come no one's asked that question? Like, when can I get my hands on one of these devices, man? So that's a good question. I don't think you have that answer either.
No.
Chris Pauly asked, Kevin, any openings on the WP dev team?
Absolutely. We're always looking for great people to write code and build product, define specs. You know, we're always hiring.
Right on. So, Chris, you just heard it from the man. Now, John McBride asks, is the SDK dev environment only available for the 64-bit 1.8 platform? I don't see an x86 build available.
I believe it only runs in the 64-bit because it requires Hyper-V to use the emulator. And that, therefore, requires a 64-bit machine.
Mm-hmm.
And so pretty much if you want to be developing, you want a 64-bit Windows 8 machine.
Okay. And so in other words, it only works on Windows 8.
With SLAT.
8. Okay.
You want SLAT.
SLAT.
I don't know if everybody knows what SLAT is, but SLAT is the ability to run Hyper-V. So it's a requirement in the hardware that you need to make sure that Hyper-V runs for the emulator.
Rock and roll. So, hey, Alan, what took you so long, man? So Alan Lindquist asks, what DirectX version is on WP8? And he loves to do this kind of stuff. Are there any differences from the Win8 DX API?
So, okay, I asked some guy to give me the number here. I think it's 9_3. Don't quote me on it. I believe it's the API, I think, is the driver level is what you really want to care about. This will tell you what you can do with shaders and those type of things.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll make sure we get an answer out there.
Sure.
It's something I can't remember. It's a very detailed number. You know what you're asking.
Yeah.
You know, and I know why you want to know it. And I know you need to know for all the shader support and what, how many instructions and those things.
Yeah.
We'll get you the exact number. I can never remember the...
But it's not 11.1 like on this. Or actually, doesn't have 11.1.
There's an API. There's the API.
Yeah.
And then there's a driver level support.
Yes.
And those are both important, and you have to, you know, to know.
Rock
the
and
APIs
roll.
Will take the shaders, but the functionality of the shaders depends on the driver model support, right? So those two are somewhat separate and distinct.
Cool. Great question, Alan. We'll get you the right numbers. But good question.
Very good question.
Bigsby asks, will there be emulator for non-Hyper-V machines?
No.
No.
It is Hyper-V based. We made a decision to go that route, aligning with Windows 8, and really looking for the future. Because now we can literally run the same OS, right? We would have had to fake it up instead. Literally running Hyper-V, a version of the Windows, you know, core, so it's running exactly like it would run in Windows. And we felt that would give you the most realistic and the best emulation possible.
Absolutely. I mean, really excellent emulation. So rock and roll to that. can I create a Unity app for Windows Phone 8 yet? This is from Andy Weston.
I don't know when they're publishing their tools. I think Unity will publish that on their website. We might as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they've published their tools yet that allow you to target Windows Phone 8.
But you, of course, know that it will work because we've seen...
We demoed it live.
Yes. And it's a great thing. For people out there who don't know what Unity is...
It's a gaming middleware engine, very popular, that allows you to build games. So you build a game, you use their gaming engine, and you can leverage that across many platforms.
Absolutely. Underneath will either be DirectX or OpenGL,
yep,
for example.
Yep, extract all of that for you.
It's very interesting. But if you want to write DirectX directly, you can.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Thanks, Weston. We have 5 minutes left, people. So thank you for all the great questions. Keep them coming. Brain Glove. There's a name. Is there anything you can't do with HTML5, CSS, JS that you can with a native app?
Yeah, I mean, our HTML5 is basically a web browser control, so you can do everything that's standards-based. You can do what a website can do. You can't go outside of the sandbox. Native apps can go outside of the sandbox that a web browser would be in. For example, launching the camera, being able to call DirectX, being able to launch the launchers and choosers, be able to select different things on the phone. There's a huge number of APIs that are available in the platform that our store apps can go do that HTML can't. So basically, our web control is like it is on iOS and Android. It's runs basically a website inside the control that links up and provides full navigation of those models for the web control.
Awesome. ComFreak, I like that name too. Is the behavior in the emulator the same as on a real WP8 phone?
Yeah, we're running the OS. We are running the OS. So you run it, it looks like the phone, it is the phone. All we did was cross-compile to x86.
Rock and roll.
So we compile every day for x86 for the emulator and ARM for the device.
Beautiful. Back on, still on the kind of emulator bandwagon, Sandeep asked, he read that the WP8 SDK includes multiple emulators. What are they exactly?
For the different resolutions, we have an emulator for each of the core resolutions that we have because they do behave slightly differently. And so you'll be able to do a drop down and select what resolution, so you can actually see what it looks like on, say, a 720p device versus a WXGA versus WVGA.
Excellent. Now, one quick question for me. There is no WinRT on Windows Phone. It's the Windows Phone runtime, right?
We are not using that. No, not really.
Oh, you're not using that term?
No.
Sorry. Let me step back and ask my real question.
WinRT is an addition that they've added. There's two parts of WinRT.
Yeah.
One is the actual model for being able to call, much like COM was, where you can actually create components. So you can create components. We have APIs written as well. Then there is the API surface area of Windows runtime. Mm. And so the same component technology, so the ability to build these components, that's identical. That's what I showed on stage, where we took C++ code that we had written for photo effect, and we wrapped it as a Windows runtime component. And that is identical on both platforms. So the component model is identical. The actual set of APIs, we have a shared set. This common APIs that I talk about. Some of them are Win32, some are COM, some are WinRT.
Okay.
So we have, in essence, a breadth across each of those different technologies, and those are identical between both platforms.
Excellent. So we're going to end. We have two more questions. The first one is from Takayuki. Are you able to simulate screen pinches in the emulator and other touch-related features? Can you touch the emulator?
Yeah, we support touch, yes.
Great. Mark, why would I want to push live tiles versus having an agent update them? So...
Yeah, I'd have to know more about your app and what you're trying to accomplish before I know...
Sure.
The benefit of each of those.
But hey, you know what? Thanks for all the great questions today. You guys are awesome out there. And thanks for coming to join us. It'd be good to talk to you again sometime, Kevin.
It was awesome. Thank you.
Rock and roll, man.